Good morning. I've been asked to inform you this morning in sorrow and also with the joy of eternal life that the Lord called himself to himself this past week, the soul of Adele Burke. Arrangements are pending at this time. The family will be arranging memorial service at some time later date when the family can gather together from the many states in which they live. Please also pray for the family of Jerry Brock, whose mother, Elsie, was called home this past week. Jerry and his family are in Michigan at this time, but will be returning later in the week. Four other announcements to bring to your attention. The taking down of the greens will occur today after the 11 o'clock service, and with many hands, the job can be done very quickly. If you have the time after service today to give some time to taking down the greens, that would be appreciated. Secondly, the new Beth Moore Bible Study Entrusted starts next Sunday, as does Pastor Wendt's study on the point of power, including Daniel. Phyllis? You know, that's another announcement I've got. I didn't put those two together. Okay, so you've got it. You've got the word from the person herself. But sign up in the Narthex because booklets have to be purchased and people know just how many people will be coming. Ladies Guild Fashion Show is February 3rd. Sign up in the North. Tickets are available in the Narthex too for that. And as Phyllis mentioned, the IDEA meetings are next week after the 5 p.m. service and then between the services next week. Bring your ideas to discuss how faith might move forward into the future. Good. We make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As an ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray together. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the Epiphany of our Lord. The Old Testament reads, Nations shall come to the light of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson reads, "Hidden for ages, the mystery of the gospel is now revealed." St. Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to the light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. I understand I was having trouble with my mic at the beginning. Can you all hear me now? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been focusing on the life of Christ. The first 4 weeks, those just before Christmas, were spent in the season of Advent. And it's that season in our church year in which we focus on our waiting, our expectant waiting and preparation for the coming of our Lord, both at his birth at Bethlehem and then in his second coming, when he comes in all of his glory and judges the righteous from the unrighteous. And the 2 weeks following Advent were spent in the Christmas season. We celebrated the birth of Jesus. His birth, the fulfillment of the prophecies of old, prophecies that God would send a Messiah to save his people from their sins. And now, today, as we celebrate Epiphany, we Gentile Christians can be assured that Jesus didn't come just to save the Jews, but he came offering salvation to all. In today's gospel, we consider the account of the wise men's visit. Coming from the east, they traveled many miles. They came to worship Jesus. And as we look at this story, I would like to focus our attention on those who responded to the new king and consider where their hearts may have been as they made their response. They were the wise men, King Herod, and the religious leaders. Matthew writes that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose. We've come to worship him." Now, Scripture doesn't tell us who these wise men were, nor how many came, and it really doesn't matter. So, while there's a void in information from Scripture, to an extent, that void has been fulfilled by tradition, a tradition that may or may not be correct. It's been said that there were three wise men who came seeking the new king. The number was most likely derived from the number of gifts that they brought, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And tradition also gave the three men names, the names of Gaspar or Caspar, Balthasar, and Melchior. Some church historians believe that the wise men were most likely of noble birth. They were educated, wealthy, and in their own societies, they were undoubtedly influential. They may have been professional astrologers, and it's quite likely that they were familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures and its messianic prophecies, a knowledge that was possibly gained from the Jewish diaspora, descendants of those Israelites who remained in the East after they had been exiled to Babylon some 600 years before. And the wise men may well have been familiar with the words of Balaam, found in the book of Numbers, words that are often thought to refer to the coming Messiah. Balaam prophesied, "A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." Or maybe they were influenced by the prophecy of Micah. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel. And they probably understood the time prophecy of Daniel regarding the appearance of the Messiah. And they came to the conclusion the time for his coming was near. So when these wise men saw the Jesus star, they came to worship him and to present him with gifts, gifts that were customarily reserved for those of noble birth. In mentioning their trek to Jerusalem from distant eastern lands, Matthew shows just how strongly motivated these men were as they opened their hearts and they came to where Jesus was. And when they finally found him, they were joyful and they responded to him with their gifts, the gifts that they had brought those many miles for the newborn king. And then there was Herod, a descendant of Esau. Herod's ancestors had come from Edom. Edom was a kingdom at the southern reaches of Judea and the Dead Sea. His family were converts to Judaism, but they were regarded by the Jews with much suspicion because of their Edomite ancestry. And Herod, in 37 BC, became the political leader of Judea when he was appointed by Caesar Augustus as the king of the Jews. Now, Herod was a shrewd man. He knew how the world worked, and he used it to his full advantage. Often, he overcame his enemies the old-fashioned way. He either bought them off or he had them killed. For example, the Jewish religious authorities had opposed Herod's kingship. So what did Herod do? He built a new temple for them. And the aristocracy of Palestine opposed him. So what did he do? He simply murdered the 45 leading noble families. He would do whatever it took to protect himself. He made sure that number one was cared for. And in his mind, he was number one. So when the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews, Herod took them seriously. His heart was moved, but not for good. Now the Gospel of Matthew tells us that Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard the news of the wise men, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Now, as to the others in Jerusalem, why would they have been disturbed? I suspect they knew just how brutal Herod could be. Inquiring of the religious leaders and meeting privately with the wise men, Herod learned that the newborn king, Jesus, had been born in Bethlehem, and he became aware of the time that the new king's star had first appeared. He asked the wise men to find Jesus and to come back and tell him where Jesus was so that Herod could go and worship him. But that was not Herod's intention. Rather than worshiping Jesus, what he wanted to do was to kill the newborn baby. He thought that the new king could take his power away. He wanted to make sure that that did not happen. But when the wise men did not return to Herod as he requested, Herod's plan fell through for finding precisely where the Christ child was. He implemented a different plan, a plan aimed at achieving his goal. He sent, as Scripture indicates, as Scripture tells us, he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based upon the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. And the prophecy of Jeremiah was thereby fulfilled, that a cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and crying and great mourning. Jeremiah wrote that Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. So, where was Herod's heart? His concern was only for himself, protecting his position as king of the Jews. And in responding to protect himself, Herod rejected Jesus and the salvation he offered. Finally, where were they? There were the priests and the teachers of religious law. Where were their hearts? I don't think we really have sufficient information from today's gospel to say, but at best, they seemed to be indifferent to the arrival of the newborn king and what it meant for them spiritually. These men, after all, were experts in the law. They were fully aware of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And yet, while the wise men had traveled great distances to find and worship the newborn king, the religious leaders couldn't be bothered. It was only a little over 5 miles between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And the religious leaders couldn't be bothered to travel that short distance to go and see the young child for themselves. Of course, this apparent spiritual indifference by the religious leaders would change, as some 30 years later, when Jesus was at the height of his ministry, this is the very group that would lead the charge for his crucifixion. Their spiritual indifference would lead to their rejecting Jesus. So the question that I'd like us to consider this morning is, where are our hearts? As we respond to Jesus for who he is and for what he has done for us. Now, some 2,000 years have passed since Jesus' birth, yet not much has really changed when it comes to humankind. We're still infected by the old Adam, that corrupt and evil nature with which we were born. That nature that curves us in on ourselves as opposed to directing us toward God. And like Herod, it's certainly possible today for us to reject Jesus. It's possible for us to believe that he isn't who he says he is. It's possible for us to believe that salvation does not come for what Jesus has done for us. Pity the person who has a belief like that. And yet, a more subtle danger for us Christians today is an attitude of indifference. It's a slippery slope, as an attitude of indifference may grow so gradually, the person really isn't aware that they're being led away from Christ, led away to their eternal harm. So let's take a few moments and briefly examine some of the signs that indicate the possibility that an attitude of indifference is grabbing hold. 4 signs come to my mind. The first sign is a lack of zeal. Dedicated Christians have such an enthusiasm for Jesus that their hearts, they just seem to burn within them, as did the hearts of the 2 men who were on the road to Emmaus when Jesus walked with them after his resurrection from the dead, and he explained Scripture to them. If that fire is gone, indifference may have set in. In C.S. Lewis' fictional book, The Screwtape Letters, one devil is giving instructions to another, to a younger devil, on just how to destroy a Christian. And the instruction is, the devil says to his young counterpart, if you can get him or her to the point of thinking that religion is all very good up to a point, you can feel quite happy that you've got his soul. A moderated religion is as good as no religion at all. Second sign of indifference is the loss of spiritual interest. A waning interest in spiritual matters can easily follow if there's been a loss of zeal. And a loss of spiritual interest may show up in at least four different ways. First, there may no longer be a desire for God's word. This may show up in a lack of studying God's word at home or Bible study at church. And the other three indicators of a possible loss of spiritual interest include no longer being bothered by sin, either in ourselves or in the lives of others. No longer being bothered by teaching of false doctrine, nor being concerned about the lost. As to a lack of concern about sin in our own lives or in the lives of others, chapter 8, verse 13 of Proverbs says that all who fear the Lord will hate evil. And Proverbs 16, verse 6 says that by fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. And as to not being bothered by false teaching, David wrote in Psalm 119 that rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. God's people, those who love God's law and his plan for salvation, are certainly bothered when false doctrine is taught. Finally, as not to being concerned about those who are lost and simply don't know Jesus in his great commission to his disciples. Jesus expressly charged us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all commands I have given you. It's a charge that Jesus has given to all of his disciples. The disciples that were with him there at the day he gave that charge, and his disciples who are here today. God wants us to joyfully share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, as back to the attitude of indifference, there are two additional signs. Third sign is missing church services. Now, this may begin with an occasional absence. Maybe it starts with our work schedule or some other reason that keeps us away. It may bother us at first, but then we adjust to the idea. Later, we miss once in a while to do something else that we want to do. And over time, it becomes easier to miss even more. And with every service that we miss out on that much spiritual growth. And yet, remember the third commandment. The commandment that we were given to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Luther writes that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And the fourth sign that a person may be indifferent to the good news of Christ occurs when a person becomes consumed with secular interests at the expense of spiritual interests. And yet, secular things are only temporary and they rank far below our spiritual well-being. One is temporary, the other is eternal. As the writer of the letter to the Hebrews stated, this world is not our permanent home. We're looking for a home yet to come. Therefore, Let us offer Jesus, through Jesus, a continual sacrifice and praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and share with those in need. That's the kind of response that God desires. One of sacrifice and praise. One of doing good and sharing with those in need. With his birth at Bethlehem, Jesus took on flesh, coming expressly to take our sin on himself, so that he could die for them on the cross at Calvary. And with his resurrection from the dead, death has been defeated. It's solely through God's grace that we're saved from sin and that we have the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. What an awesome gift God has given to each and every one of us. And he did it solely out of his love for us and not because of any merit or worthiness that we might have. When an expert religious law asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus responded, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And he went on to say, a second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all of the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. May you have a heart like that, one that puts God first in your life, one that loves your neighbor even as you love yourself. All of this in response to who God is, the gift that he gave us through his only son, Jesus, and what Jesus has done for you and me. He's given us the gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen. And at this time, we now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we now gather our offering. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs, for the peace of the whole world, that wars cease, and that people of every nation find lasting, perfect peace in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, here in Faith Lutheran Church, and in every corner of creation, that the journey of the wise men inspires us to follow the light of the gospel and spread the word of salvation throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord. for those who lay down their lives for their fellow men and women, including first responders, members of law enforcement, doctors and nurses, and those who wear the uniform of our country, that they take shelter, strength, and solace in the arms of our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who guide and lead us in the church, we remember, O Lord, Synodical President Harrison, District President Walton, Pastor Wendt, along with Tim and Yvonne Berkey, who are attending doxology this weekend on behalf of our congregation, and all pastors, teachers, deaconesses, and servants of the church, that they may hold and teach the faith that comes to us from the holy prophets and apostles. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who are gathered here before you, O Lord, for our well-being and redemption, for ordering our days in your peace and delivering us from the danger of eternal death, as you number us among your chosen flock, let us pray to the Lord. Holy Father, this holy day, we especially thank you for the Magi, the first fruits of the Gentiles to kneel and worship before your Son, for giving us grace to walk before you with faith, like theirs, and granting us a share in their heavenly fellowship. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick and hospitalized, shut in and homebound, and for all who are sick in heart, mind, and body, as well as those who mourn the loss of their loved one, yet rejoice in the joy of life everlasting granted to them. Especially do we pray this morning for the families of Jerry Brock and Adele Burke, that their lives be touched by our Father's healing mercy and comfort. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who approach your holy altar this day, grace to receive worthily the sacramental mystery, the New Testament of our divine Redeemer, who is truly the Lamb of God, who gave himself once and for all as a holy, spotless, and perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin and for the life and salvation of the whole world. Let us pray to the Lord. For these and all of the prayers and intercessions we have, that the petitions of our hearts may be known to the one who knows and loves us all, let us pray to the Lord. Amen. We pray the prayer that our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray together. We give thanks to you, dear Father in heaven, that you continue to guide people of every nation to the one who is the light of the world. Grant that we have seen this light may reflect his glory in all we say and do. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord, and have a wonderful week.